الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we are on the series of lectures on Al-Ibad al-Rahman, on those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised in the Quran, and He called those people His special people. And Allah did not say that these special people were people of a particular race or a particular culture or a particular nationality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the people in terms of their behavioral qualities. We have done two lectures on that, and today is the third one on it. The first of the qualities of those special people, which we spoke about last week, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they are people who do not respond to negativity in kind, who respond to negativity positively, who respond to something which is harsh in a kind way, who do not return a curse for a curse. وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When they are abused, when they are reviled, when they are cursed, what do? They say, Salaam alaikum, peace be on you, and they move away. They do not engage with those people, and they do not create a problem, or they do not exacerbate or increase the problem. Today we look at the second quality of such people. We ask Allah to make us among them, which Allah described. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who spend the night before their Rabb, before their Lord, in sajda and qiyam, in prostration with their head on the ground and in standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that this spending the night before and in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most reliable sign of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this. We like to spend time in the company of those we love. The same applies with respect to our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look for opportunities to spend time in His presence. What better time to do that than when He has made nuzul on the first heaven and the caller has said, who is there who needs anything from his Rabb? This is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, used to call salah, used to call the prayer qurratul ayn. He said, the coolness of my eyes. Salah is the time when we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talk to Him, we tell Him our stories, we ask for His help and He answers. He knows our stories, but He likes for us to speak to Him and to tell Him those stories. He knows our circumstances, He knows our difficulties, He knows our challenges, and there is no one who shows more appreciation than Him. For them, for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His support and a great reward. What more can we ask? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with great love His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and refers to Him in connection with that which will give Him strength and power to do His work for which He had been sent. The work of presenting Islam to a hostile world. The world at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there was a very hostile world. In Makkah, he faced every kind of hostility, including threat to his life. And Allah is teaching him how to deal with hostility. And He is teaching him that the way to deal with hostility is not with hostility, but with humility, with submission, with kindness, with compassion. Kindness and compassion not for people who are nice to you, but kindness and compassion for people who are nasty to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a way of connecting to himself and of drawing strength and spiritual sustenance from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal muzzamil qumil layla illa qalila. Ya ayyuhal muzzamil qumil layla illa qalila. Nisfahu abin qus minhu qalila. Awzid alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you wrapped in garments and sleeping, stand up and pray, stand up and speak to Allah all through the night, except for a little. Illa qalila. Nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila. Half of it or a little less than that or a little more. And recite the Quran in a slow and pleasant and nice manner. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to connect with Him. And through Him, He is advising us how we can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This applies to everything in life, but most especially to the work of da'wah. I ask myself how many in our da'wah organizations stand in salah in the night and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help. Our success will speak for itself and will directly show this connection. If we do this, we will succeed. If not, we fail. No matter how talented in a worldly context we might be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who pray tahajjud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, He praised them and He told us what they will get as a result of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمْعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُونَ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and they get up from their sides, they get up from their beds, and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night, and they stand بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَتَمْعَ between fear and hope, fear of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they are not forgiven, and hope for His forgiveness. And they spend in charity in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says, out of what we bestowed upon them, mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon, fala ta'lamu nafsum ma ukhfiya lahum min qurrati ayun jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. Allah said, and no person knows what we have kept hidden for them of the joy and reward for what they used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He told us the quality of those who love Him and who worship Him, and He told us the reward for that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the reward is such that they don't even know what the reward is, and if they knew what the reward is, it would be the source of much happiness. It would be the source of the coolness of their eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about tahajjud. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّا قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَحَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَاجْعَلْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, which means, establish as salah, iqamati salah, establish the prayer from midday till the darkness of the night, which covers the zuhr, asr, and maghrib and isha prayers, and recite the Quran in early dawn, the fajr prayer. Verily, the recitation of the Quran in the early dawn is witnessed. It is attended by malaika, by the angels, and they bear witness. And that's the reason why Rasulullah used to recite longer surahs in Salatul Fajr than he recited at other times. And then Allah said, and then again in some parts of the night, which is tahajjud, offer the salah and with it recite the Quran in prayer as an additional prayer, which is tahajjud. So the five fard plus the additional prayer, which is tahajjud. It may be that your Rabb will raise you to maqamam mahmuda, to the highest station of praise and glory and the highest degree in Jannah. And say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Rabb, let my entry, and this is referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration from Makkah to Medina. You know, we use this term migration very loosely when it comes to the Hijrah. But please put yourself in that situation. Look at the historical, at history, at what happened there. This was not migration as in you apply for migration to the United States and all the papers goes through very nicely and then the visa officer stamps your passport and then you land in Boston or Washington and the immigration officer there says, welcome to the United States. No. This was migration, meaning he moved permanently from point A to point B, from Makkah to Medina. But this was leaving Makkah in a state where there was a price on his life. 100 camels, dead or alive. They were hunting him for his life. Not migration as in just going away nicely to get a job or something. No. And in that state of high tension where there is risk to life and liberty, where there is risk to him and to his companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, where there is a price on his head, dead or alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him advice. And what is he saying? Allah says, make this dua. Rabbi adkhilni mudkhala sidqi wa akhrijni mukhraja sidqi waj'al li min ladunka sultanan nasira. And he says, oh my Rabb, oh Muhammad, say this, oh my Rabb, let my entry to Medina be good and likewise my exit from Makkah be good, and grant me from you an authority to help me and as a sign and proof of your help. The rujoo is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, the truth has come and batil has vanished. The truth has come and falsehood has vanished, and surely falsehood is ever bound to vanish. And we send down from the Quran that which is healing and which is a mercy to those who believe. And it increases in the transgressors nothing but loss. One of my favorite of the Salafus Salihin is Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh. And there are some wonderful stories of Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And two of my favorite stories, some of you have heard them before, but it's nice to repeat these things, and those of you who haven't heard this before. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh is standing in tahajjud. So when he stands there on his musalla, he has not even begun the intention of the salah, he has not started his prayer. He stands there and he says, oh Allah, the whole world is sleeping. The whole world is sleeping. Even the stars have gone to sleep. There are only two who are awake. You on your arsh, you on your throne, and me here. Now this is a conversation between Allah and his slave, Jalla Jalaluhu. Now, don't go into geography and say, no, hold on a second. Hasan al-Basri was in Basra, and in Australia, it was already, the sun had risen. I mean, get real. We're talking about the man and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he was. Another one, which is even more, it's also amusing, but it's a very salutary story. Hasan al-Basri was standing in tahajjud, he was praying in the night. And he thought he heard an intruder in his house. But he continued his salah. So when he finished two rakat, he saw a man standing there. So this man says to Hasan al-Basri, he says, what kind of a man are you? He says, I am a thief. And I came to your house to get something from you. And he says, but you have nothing. How do you live like this? Huh? So he said, I thought I must tell you this. I mean, this is, what kind of life is this? I mean, you have nothing. So thief also was a Muslim. So Hasan al-Basri Rahmatullah said to him, no, I have something, I'll give you. Go make wudu. Go make ablution. Go wash and come. So the thief must have thought, well, you know, I'm getting nothing. This man says he will give me something. So let me go. I mean, I wash my face. How does it matter? So he goes, washes, and he comes, and he stands. Hasan al-Basri says, now come stand next to me. He stands next to Hasan al-Basri Rahmatullah alayhi, and Hasan al-Basri starts his salah, Allahu Akbar. Now think about this. Here is this thief. What is his connection with God? What is his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is doing something which is haram. Now he comes and stands next to Hasan al-Basri Rahmatullah alayhi, the man who is called the leader of the Tabi'un, the leader of the Tabi'in, a man who was a student of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And this man is reciting Quran. The thief stands next to him. Hasan al-Basri prays two rakat of salah. It finishes. The thief turns to him. He's weeping. He has tears in his eyes. And he says, truly today I got something which I never got in my life. In all my career of stealing, he said, I never got anything like I got today. And I didn't have to steal it. You gave it to me. He said, I make tawbah, I repent from this life of mine, I will not steal anymore, and I will reform myself, and I will do which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted me. This is the power of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the effect and the meaning of salah. It is supposed to produce an effect in our lives. We have reduced salah to just a ritual. We come, and we pray, and we go. And when we go outside, if someone were to stand outside there and ask you and me, you just prayed two rakat of salah, you prayed four rakat of salah, you were in a masjid, you were in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you were in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7, but specifically here, you came to be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell me what changed. How are you a different person from the one who entered the masjid? What is the answer? What is the answer? I teach Six Sigma. And my philosophy is, what you can't measure doesn't exist. We need signs. Even for God there are signs. We recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not by blind belief. We recognize Allah by His signs. So what is the sign? What is the sign that this prayer did any good for me? I'm not saying it didn't do any good for me. I'm just saying, do we think about this? Should we think about this? What do you think? Did this prayer do anything good for me? I mean, all of you left your homes, you came here, and you're taking the time and trouble, you're burning gas to come here, and so on and so forth, you're sitting here. At the end of this, if you and I leave this place and we go away, and we cannot answer this question, what did this prayer do for me? Sure, we fulfilled the fard, we fulfilled what was obligatory on us. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to forgive us and to accept it. But I'm saying, other than that, I sit down, I have a nice meal, and at the end of the nice meal, if somebody says, how did you change? What happened? What was the effect of that? You can answer that question. You can answer that question. Now, take that example. Anything you want. Anything that you do, at the end of that, somebody asks you a question and says, what did you gain from this? How did it benefit you? How did it affect you? We can answer that question. So how come we can't answer that question when it comes to prayer? Those of you who can answer that question, all power to you. I'm not saying everybody is like that. I'm just saying for a lot of us, that is the reality. That we cannot answer this question. If somebody says, you just prayed and you came out of the masjid, how did you change? What happened? What's the answer? I submit to you that there should be an answer. And that is not going to come from somewhere outside. That answer has to come from inside us. And that will come from inside us when we concentrate in salah, when we build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is built through tahajjud, through praying in the night, through spending more and more time with the one we love. As I told you, ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all examples, but to understand this, how do you build a friendship with somebody? By spending more time with them. How do you build a connection with your children? By FaceTime with the children. I don't mean on an iPhone, I mean actual FaceTime with the children. How do you build a connection with somebody you love, your spouse? By time with them. You're married to someone, but if you've got two completely different lives and you are working somewhere, she's working somewhere, you're living somewhere. I mean, this can go for a while, but after a while, what will happen? It's not a hotel. You know, it's not two people checked into the same room and, you know. No. There is a relationship. How does the relationship happen? How does any relationship happen? By spending time with the person, with the one that you want to build that relationship with. Exactly the same thing applies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. We need to spend time with Allah. As I told you, Allah is with us everywhere. That's not the issue. The issue is how conscious of that are we? How connected to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, are we? That is the issue. It's not a question of, you know, Allah is there. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wherever you see, wherever you look, you see the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wajh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there are two, the third is Allah. If there are three, the fourth is Allah. Meaning that if two people are talking, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing and He is watching and He is listening. Don't speak something which is false. Don't speak something which is negative. Don't try to deceive. Don't cheat. Don't hurt. Don't harm anybody. Because God is the witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the witness. So Allah is everywhere. But the point is, how conscious am I of this throughout my life? When we become conscious, then you will be able to answer this question, what happened to you at the end of this prayer? Then we will be able to answer this question. My brothers and sisters, this salah is our special personal space with the one we worship. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we worship a living God. We worship a God who is alive, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, who hears and who sees, Sami'ul Basir, who knows, Alimum Bima Fi Sudur, who knows what is in our hearts, who is Rabbul Alameen, He is the creator and the sustainer of everything that is created. Who introduced Himself in this way, where He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. You all know these ayat, you know the references, and I will give these references in the text of this khutbah anyway. My brothers and sisters, the purpose of the Quran is not simply to recite it. It's not simply to recite it for the reward of recitation. It is to understand it, and it is to live our lives by it. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His kalam, He sent His kitab, He sent His book, that people may understand it and people may live their lives according to it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that, to make it easy for us, to facilitate it for us, and to make us living, walking, talking models of the goodness and beauty of Islam. Please understand, the world is sick and tired of people talking about Islam. They want to see Islam in practice. So they are saying, put up or shut up. There's no good talking about Islam when we cannot see what you are talking about in your own life. That is the challenge for us. How do we live by what we claim to believe in? And believe me, this is not to show the world. This is because one day this is what we will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not be asked what happened. We will be asked, what did you do? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to reward all of you, to help you in every difficulty that you might face, to accept all your du'as, to give you what you ask with khair and afia, and then to give more from His generosity and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your worship. I ask Allah to accept your coming here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in every way, in every situation. I request you also to make dua for two of my uncles who passed away 2 days ago, Hasanuddin Ahmad Sahab and Ahmad Abdul Aziz Sahab. Hasan uncle was 97, Asif uncle was 94. And apart from their age, they were the last of that generation of our family. There are a couple of more people, but these were the personalities of our house. And so it's a great loss. And also these people were, because of the time that they lived in, they were literally living repositories of the history of this, what used to be our country, Hyderabad. It's now a city, but it was a country. And they were the living repositories of the history of this place. I hope somewhere that is preserved. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and to fill their qubur with noor. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give sabr to the families. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure everyone who is sick. I ask Allah to help everyone who is in any difficulty out of their difficulties. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all those who have gone ahead and to make things easy for all those who are here. Jazakallahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.